Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for tonight's meditation comes from John chapter 17, toward the end of the high priestly prayer, when Jesus is speaking with his disciples prior to his passion and death. Jesus is speaking and he says, "For their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." So I hope everyone has been enjoying our Seder celebration so far. We certainly need to give thanks to the women who prepared all of the food and to everyone who helped to set everything up for the dinner tonight. By their efforts and by our very presence here to celebrate the Passover together, we show forth the unity and fellowship that we enjoy as members of Christ Church. This is not simply unity and fellowship with those who are here tonight, but with all those who celebrated the Passover in joyous and faithful anticipation of the ultimate Passover, when the Messiah would be in their midst, with all those who celebrated the Passover with the Messiah on the night when he was betrayed, and with all those who have and are celebrating the fulfilled Passover, Holy Communion, in the name of Christ both here on earth and in his nearer presence in heaven. Truly, this meal is about unity and fellowship. And after all, that is what Jesus prays for his disciples. But it's interesting that here he is, the night before his death, praying for them to be united. In verse, he prays in early on that we, his people, would be kept in his name and so united, just as he and his Father are united as one. It's interesting that he prays for his people to be sanctified, that is, to be made holy in the truth of God's word. In verses 20 and 21, he prays, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." This isn't for just the disciples who are there with Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, but it is for all people, and it is for us as well. Even though we are not really we are not by birth Jews, we are, for the most part, Gentiles. We were not his people whom he led out of slavery in Egypt, and yet he has brought us in. And Jesus wants for his people to be united, both Jews and Gentiles, both us and those who are not here with us, wants us to be united even as he and his Father are one. We talk about the Trinity all the time, but do we really understand what that oneness means? Only a little bit ago, in explaining the matzah, the three pieces in a single unity, We talked about what the Trinity is and what that means. There are three persons in God, but there is only one single God. Three persons in one God. How does that happen? We don't know. There is a single divine substance, but it equally resides in three distinct persons of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How? We don't know. They are three, and yet they are one. And now, the matzah is not a perfect analogy for the Trinity, but it does remind us that God is both three and three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and a single God. And Jesus, and that is the level of unity which God prays, that Christ prays, that we would have with one another. Jesus prays that level of unity for us, but the results on earth seem, shall we say, less than impressive. Sin divides us from each other. Perhaps you are sitting here thinking, if these people around me only knew what a miserable sinner I am, they wouldn't want me here. Now, perhaps on the other hand, you're sitting there thinking, I know what poor, miserable sinners these people are. I know I'm better than them. Either of these lines of thinking divides us from one another. Either of these lines of thinking places barriers within the body of Christ between those that Christ loves and those that Christ unites. Perhaps it isn't sin, perhaps it is conflict. Conflict also divides us. Now, some conflicts are in fact necessary. When God's word is being threatened, conflict is necessary to preserve the truth of God's scripture. When the church's mission and doctrine are called into question, conflict may be necessary to preserve Christ's mission in this world. But that's not all the conflict that happens that divides Christ's body. A lot of conflicts do nothing but divide and prevent the full realization of the fellowship which we have in the church. Conflicts based on personality or on preference divide us from our fellow believers. Paul, in fact, warns in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 against creating conflict over teachers when he says, each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? We are not to be divided. And yet, despite the conflicts, despite the disunity which persists within the church, we are still nonetheless united. We do still have fellowship with one another. But it's not fellowship that's based on human ideas. It's not fellowship that is based on who we are as humans, but it is based on Christ. All unity and fellowship in the church originates from a single source, which is Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3, Paul writes, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Or then in Romans 12, he says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. We have unity, not because of who we are, but because of Christ, that Christ brings us together. All those sins that divide us, they have all been paid for by Christ. There is no sin which Christ does not forgive. Your sin is not so great that you are barred from the church by sin. Because Christ forgives all sins, no believer is greater than another. All are equal in God's eyes. We are all equally sinful. We are all equally under the condemnation of sin. But we are all equally saved and forgiven by Christ. Even the divisions that exist within the church are reconciled by Christ. Now, some of these divisions may not be fully reconciled in this world. Some of these we may only see the unity in heaven when we are in his presence fully and truly. But nevertheless, we all have a single God. We all have a single Lord. And the fellowship we have through our single God will be realized on the last day. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Ultimately, this meal we are partaking in, the Passover, is and what we will celebrate soon is where we see the unity of the church, united under its one head, Christ, modeled most visibly. You see, when we participate in the Passover meal and celebrate the Lord's Supper in a way that is close to how Jesus actually instituted it, we see just how we are united. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, I will actually take the pieces of unleavened bread which we hid and break those into pieces, and we will all partake of those same loaves of bread. Though the pieces of bread which we eat are separated, they all come from the same loaf, or at least the same oven over in the parsonage. In that same way, we all, though separate, are all united in our single Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the use of a single chalice in communion symbolizes this very same thing. We all drink from a single cup, demonstrating the unity that we have through Christ. And now may this peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard us in fellowship and unity in our head, Jesus Christ, until the last day when we see that unity fully realized in heaven. Amen.